Welcome to Manager Tools. How to Action Engagement Survey Results, Chapter 3, The Questions, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, how should I respond to my engagement survey results? What should I do with my scores on an engagement survey? And how can I improve my engagement survey results? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey there. You may not have heard, but we're pretty excited over here at Manager Tools. Recently, we've unveiled the Manager Tools Executive Speaker Series. And as an executive community, we're meeting monthly to hear from members of the Manager Tools community as they share with us their tips and tricks, their secrets for success in terms of leadership. And we'd love to add you to that community. So join us by registering online at manager-tools.com/products. You can become a member of the exclusive community of managers, all here to help one another.
Okay, Mark, last time we talked about the questions and essentially the strategy for thinking about and talking about with your directs the engagement survey results.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to get into our thoughts around specific questions in these, 13 or so categories. The first one being the main drivers. Okay, so let's go with that.
Yeah, I will say this. It's probably a little bit of a stretch to say what we were saying before as the strategy. We wanted to do some introductory thoughts about the process by which, once you get your engagement survey results back, how you're going to interface with your team. That's why we talked about visual record keeping, and we talked about the difference between categories and questions, and that is the $64,000 gem of engagement surveys. I must say, Mike, though, I had a very disheartening email exchange with one of our community members just this week, like Friday. We're recording this on a Sunday. And he wrote to say, loving the guidance on on engagement surveys, really excited, can't wait for the questions, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to use it because they're only giving us category scores.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And the way he described it was sort of aggregated, like, the company did poorly here, so you need to do something.
And so an individual manager executive is going to go do something about that? That's mind-boggling.
I need to learn more.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Now, to me, it's all of a piece with what I know about the engagement industry. It's built on bad ideas. But nevertheless, the reason we're doing this is because managers are suffering through it and they want our help. So, all right. So I wanted to put that caveat out there.
Oh, that's so depressing. I just when you think you can't get any worse.
Yeah, exactly. It gets pitch dark. By the way, we say the main drivers because that is the wording used on the particular engagement survey company's survey that was given to a client of ours, and they shared it with us in total. So we're not suggesting that that has any special meaning to us. This is just a title from another company's private engagement survey. And we'll leave it to you to decide whether or not you think these are actually the main drivers. In fact, the first one, by definition, I don't think is a main driver, but hey, whatever. It's a lagging indicator, not a lead indicator. And here it is.
By the way, before we get into the questions, the way these questions are presented is it's a statement. And then you're basically saying yes or no? Is that it's a binary?
No, it's not yes or no. Honestly, it's probably a Likert scale. I've seen a couple that use a 7-point scale, which actually technically could be referred to as Likert. I won't go into the science of surveying and so on, but most people, when we say Likert scale, L-I-K-E-R-T, we mean the 5 scale of strongly disagree, somewhat disagree, neutral, somewhat agree, or strongly agree, right? It's just
Okay. So it's on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 7, something like that, right? Okay.
Yes, cool. Exactly. And if you get a survey like that, that's a good sign because there is a massive data set of surveys. Once Likert came up with it, there's a massive data set which helps validate answers that you get. And there are, it's almost like, what is the software development website everybody goes to?
Stack Overflow.
Yeah, Stack Overflow. It's sort of like, it's considered to be a tried and true, incredibly effective, well-tested scientific measurement, numerical technique for analyzing your data. If you ever see one with seven, they don't want a tried and true technique looking at their data. And I mention this in part because just in the last couple of weeks, the Wall Street Journal just put out an article, funnily enough, entitled, "Sadly, Most Happiness Studies Are Flawed." And basically it says, they're all too small and they all used very old psychological survey instrumentation and measurement techniques, and none of them prove anything. And when you look at some of the surveys, none of them use Likert. So there you go. All right. So main drivers, given the opportunity, I tell others great things about working here. Now, look, this is one of the many questions that you're going to end up asking your team about, because it's probably not something you talk to your people about on a regular basis. Hey, what are you telling others about how it is to work here? And we only want to say this one time, okay? You don't necessarily need to ask for more information here if this question is a strength for you or you don't identify it as a problem, unless your organization has specifically requested input on it. Because we've got almost a 2x2 matrix here, which is, it's oversimplification, but you do well, but your company doesn't. You do poorly, but your company does well, right? Those are the four possible outcomes. And I suppose there are two more. You do well, the company does well. You do poorly, the company does poorly. And it's easy to be motivated to do something that the company suggests if both you and the company did poorly on something. It may be a little bit harder if it's something about compensation, when in fact you cannot influence compensation significantly enough to make that question change in most cases. That is an organizational level solution. But believe me, managers will still get their feet held to the fire for it, because they say, oh, we actually pay fine. You guys must not be doing a good job of communicating it.
Sure.
Just like, exactly. Yeah. It reminds me of all the people who lose elections and say, oh, our ideas are good, but we just don't know how to communicate them well. No, actually, it's probably that your ideas are crap. But you could also have a situation where you're doing well and the company's doing well, and so nobody cares about it. You don't have to capture information on those. There are some that you may choose to, because again, you don't want to go through this playing whack-a-mole where you stop doing some things that have led to some of your good scores, and then those scores fall. Your bad scores improve on the second year or you know, 2 years later when the survey is taken again, which is kind of weird because probably by then everybody on your team has changed. None of the people in the engagement survey industry understand how that affects things, except probably a few scientists that never get listened to, but be that as it may. So this is one of the questions we mentioned earlier, to simply ask your team about their thoughts. The question to ask is, what do you tell other people about working here?
That old behavior thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And to tell you the truth, one of the things engagement surveys tend to do pretty well is they try to behavioralize the questions, because that makes it easier for us. I'm not sure they intended this, but it makes it easier for us to find out what those things are, because it is what people do. We'll also call out some questions that are about how people think and how people feel, and those are generally harder and frankly more dangerous. There are plenty of managers in the corporate world today who have basically been captured by an employee who says, well, I feel this way. I feel oppressed, so therefore you're oppressing me. I feel micromanaged, so therefore you're micromanaging me. And HR organizations have drunk the Kool-Aid relative to those kind of statements and say, well, if he or she says you are, then you are, which is mind-boggling.
Oh, but I love the idea of asking people, what do you say? Because it doesn't matter what about a situation where people are answering the question in the affirmative? They say great things to others when asked, but what do they say is great, right?
And yeah,
what they say and what you may think might be very different.
Yeah, exactly. And look, most of us don't school our directs on what to say to people externally. So it's unlikely you've probably addressed this before. Now look, at the same time, folks, there's nothing wrong with reminding your people that your organization is always looking for good people. If you walk around all the time complaining about your company, and there are people who do, there are pessimists. I have a coaching client right now who has a particularly important person who's a pessimist. And you know, I worry about what that person is sharing outside of the organization. Pessimists attract less people, and they don't attract optimistic people to the organization. Now, optimists can sometimes attract pessimists, but pessimists generally don't attract optimists. And pessimists don't attract top performers. Sometimes that generalized data I just shared gets out of whack if the pay is really significant. And that's certainly true in places like Silicon Valley today. There are a lot of really highly paid, very pessimistic, colossal pains in the you-know-what in Silicon Valley who believe that because they get paid $200,000 a year as an average contributor, that their voice must be heard. But, you know, really shouldn't be that way. So your people are part of the sourcing and recruiting function of the organization, passively, right? Generally not actively unless you send them out interviewing and so on. So don't be hesitant to say, hey guys, let's not leave it to HR. Let's go get the people we want. Let's talk positively about the company so that the things that we don't like, maybe if we get three or four more really good people on this team, we'll all feel great about things. We'll start killing it and we'll feel great and we'll add to our ability to change things in the organization. Teams that stink do not get their recommendations implemented. Teams that are rocking, those teams get their ideas implemented. Okay, here's a similar question. I would not hesitate to recommend this organization to a friend seeking employment. Okay, bye. By the way, guys, this is our second question. We have 140. Some of you are going to write me and say, that podcast was boring. It was 7 parts and it was the same thing over and over again. Again, I want to defend us just a teeny bit here. This was not my favorite cast to write by any means, but we know what managers need. And we picked the biggest survey we could find because we thought it would likely cover 95% of the managers, whatever survey company used them, whether they got 30 questions, 40 questions, 50 questions. If we had chosen a survey with 12 questions, we wouldn't really have covered the waterfront. With 140, we will. So as we slide into this and we keep going and going and going, and there's long, many, many to go, just please be patient. Also, if you're a licensee, you can go through. The great thing about being a licensee is you can get show notes. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. 100% of the content from the show is in the show notes. It's rare that a sidebar that Mike or I create is material to the content we're trying to share. Also, you can read them and you can scan through and skip questions that are not interesting to you because they weren't on your survey. You only had a 40-question survey. You can just cross through them and then focus on the questions that most closely match yours. But we're going to address every single one of the 140 questions. Okay, I would not hesitate to recommend this organization to a friend seeking employment. This is another one of those ask and capture. You're going to hear me and Mike say that a lot. Ask and capture question. The question to ask your people is, what are your reservations about recommending our company to others? Right? And look, if this area is a weakness, you're probably going to be looking, you're probably going to be hearing about two types of answers from your audience based on work I've done with other people doing surveys similar to engagement surveys. The first type of answer you're going to get is one that is organizationally driven. Pay, benefits, location, cost of living, internal support, or lack thereof, and opportunities for advancement are things you as a manager can't directly change. And generally speaking, your people know you can't directly change them. Capture those. Make sure those get forwarded to your boss if, in fact, this question scored low. But all of the concerns are benefits, location, cost of living, and pay. You know, you don't control location. You don't control cost of living. You don't control benefits or pay. I mean, you have a marginal influence on pay. But typically the manager's influence on pay is not enough to make that from a bad score to a good score. And so that's the kind of thing the company needs to hear about. Now, they probably already know it, but regardless, that's your job in the follow-up process.
Well, but what if you're, God, I hate to say this, but you're in an organization where it's kind of a shoot the messenger kind of organization, and candor is not appreciated?
Get a different organization.
Okay.
I would probably politically soften the input. Now, actually, no. No, I would recommend softening the input, okay? What I would do, if you're asking me what I would do, and we don't, Mike, as we've said many times,
well, we what don't you want do, people I have plenty of stories about what Mark Horseman would do.
What I would do is I would put in direct quotes the comments about pay and so on and say, look, you guys asked for input. Here it is. And in fact, they're right. We've lost three people in the last 18 months to other companies offering $40,000 and $50,000 more. Now, look.
This reminds me, like, this just seems like a Michael Swenson rule. I didn't say we had a pay problem.
Right. They said we had a pay problem. Yeah. But look, the second type of weakness, if you will, are concerns about you and or your team directly, your style, your behaviors, project selections, work structure, communications could all come up when you say, what are your reservations about recommending our company to others? It would take a pretty gutsy person to say, actually, you know, you're kind of a bully and a jerk, and so I'm not going to recommend you. Now, whether or not you include those comments in your reporting depends upon your organization. As Mike said, if it shoots the messenger or uses that kind of candor, which is related to you specifically, then no, don't. You're not obligated to throw yourself under the bus to an unethical organization. And now you might think, well, my organization is not unethical. Yes, it is. If it takes an organization-wide survey and then tells you, we want you to report on yourself, you can't have your honor used against you. It's a fundamental principle of how organizations run. So there's some political considerations here, certainly. And hopefully we don't have to repeat these political considerations for so many of the questions that potentially would have those two categories of organization-wide or organizationally controlled levers and manager-directed levers. You'll be able to keep that in your head as we go through all this. But look, if you get specific comments that are in your purview about how you manage, please thank the offerer. Hey, thanks. I appreciate the openness. Don't argue. Don't complain. Don't defend yourself. That is not the ethos of this meeting. Sometimes, in fact, that's why we suggested you could have somebody else be writing. And it would be great if I asked Mike to write for me, to capture things. I'm sitting at the table. I get to put in information, right? Because I took the survey too. I'm the manager of the team that Mike is on. And I tell Mike, write down everything. Even if they say I'm the devil, write it down because I want to capture it. And when somebody says, well, the reason I don't recommend the organization, Mark, is because you're the devil. And he means it sincerely. Like, he doesn't like working for me. He thinks I'm a bad person. And his perception is his reality. But I'll probably bow my head and I'll probably assist him like, Mike, please write that down. Right. And then I'll say, hey, thanks.
I love this idea because I can think of lots of things. Like, I just insert in there and say, did somebody said that? Totally.
Yeah, they totally. Yeah. So just say thanks and tell them there'll be a later meeting where you discuss specific issues and come up with ideas for how to change them.
Woohoo! The fall is here. And college football is back. But do you know what that also means? If you're wanting to get your folks trained this year, yeah, by mid-December, you may want to start talking to us now. Typically, our late summer and fall calendar is the busiest time of the year, and we promise you this year is no different. Contact Maggie on our team. Her email address is maggie@manager-tools.com. To help work out whether or not we can come visit you and your organization this 2023.
Okay, next. I rarely think about leaving this organization to work somewhere else. The idea that this is a driver is ludicrous. It's an indicator, but it's not. It's a lagging indicator. It's not a leading driver. So we're going to repeat ourselves a little here because this guidance is intended to help all managers with your engagement survey response planning, whether the company uses the survey or not, right? One more time, I'm just going to say we've chosen a voluminous survey and we encourage you to print this stuff out so you can save yourself a bunch of time. But this particular question is another ask and capture question. Ask your team if this was a low scoring question, or maybe you want to capture even if it's high, what would it take to motivate you to leave the company? And I will tell you that 90% of the time, the answer is $20,000 more. That's relative to what I think of as managers making today. Frankly, in most cases, all other things being equal, which of course they never are at Bootna, a raise of $10,000 is less than $1,000 a month. And after taxes and everything else, most people don't even recognize the difference. So just ask, what would it take to motivate you to leave the company? Here's another one. It would take a lot to get me to leave this organization. This is another ask and capture question. Ask your team, what would it take to motivate you to leave the company? It's the same question, okay? Now, it's unfortunate because survey people believe that there are subtle sort of distinctions that can be made. Like, ooh, this question is a 3.6 answer, but this one's 3.7. And yes, if you have a sample size of 300 or more, you start reaching a confidence level where you could tease out potentially a difference. But that's not how human organizations run. Every individual in the company has a different experience at the company, largely because they have different managers. On the other hand, individual managers are generally not singled out in the survey, unless they have incredibly bad scores. And I'm told that the engagement survey's data packages, their analytics, do look for managers who have, even if the company's doing great, if managers have 9 of 10 areas that are red, let's say below the company average by a significant amount, as opposed to orange, which is near striking distance, or green, which is above, that they flag those. But you're going to find throughout these surveys is they'll ask multiple questions and people will get annoyed by it. Most really good engagement survey companies say, no, we could ask 6 questions to satisfy the data people and the analytics people and so on. But we also want to go back because we want to do another survey and make more money. And no company will let us come back if we make them take 140 question tests. They're going to say, we're getting all this pushback. This thing takes 3 hours to respond to. We're getting a whole bunch of people that are just scoring everything a 3. And the data analytics people will hate it. And the first thing they say, and I've been in these meetings, well, they should do it right. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, if wishes were horses, beggars would ride. Okay. Next question. This organization inspires me to do my best work every day. Same thing, ask and capture. Now, by the way, I've had people tell me that question is not about the manager. It's only about the organization. And I've said, on what planet are you living? First of all, the manager is the organization to individual contributors or their direct reports. Not that people truly understand that scientific reality of organizational life, but that question is designed to talk about how the organization's culture and so on inspires people. Yeah, unfortunately, that's not how a lot of people view it, and they think of their manager as part of the organization, and they should. And so there will be comments in there, or there will be thoughts or feelings in there that are global, company-wide, and local, manager-specific. Those are hard to tease, and you may get both, like we mentioned earlier.
You just prove that by looking at the results across the organization. And this question gets answered very differently in some parts of the organization where managers are doing their job, right? Same company, but all of a sudden, different experience in different organization parts of the organization.
Yeah, I continue to be surprised by the lack of deep thinking by senior leadership, people leadership in large organizations to understand how organizations work outside of some PhD thesis paper framework. and how flawed surveys like this can be. They can also be great, but it's very frustrating. And the individual managers, look, let's be honest. If your company is doing an engagement survey, you should be a little bit scared, okay? Because the tools they have are not fine enough to say, well, the one area, it's just the one guy, and that one guy has been hated here for 20 years, and we gave him to you 6 months ago to help you try to fix him because six other managers hated him. Now, what they should have done was fired him, and he's getting back at them by giving you horrible scores. And I've never heard of a single person ever tell me in 25 years of talking to people about organizational surveys ever said to me, oh yeah, I just went to my boss and I said, look, let's do a sample on this question. I've got 10 directs or I've got 7 directs and all of them gave me 5s. And Joe over there, the guy that you made me take and everyone knows is a colossal pain, he gave me a 1. Now, I'm not saying that's what actually happened. Maybe everybody else gave me a 4 and he gave me a 3, but what would the average be? Well, look right there. The average happens to be exactly what I predicted. Everybody loves me except him. Do you guys think you can give me a guy like that and that he's going to love me within 6 months? And then you're saying to me, you got to change that score mark? You know what, boss? I love you. I'll take a bullet for you. But this is the time for you to take a bullet for me and to tell your boss, lay off. Horseman's got a guy. We gave him. He's terrible. And that guy gave him 1s on everything. Now, the boss might say, we don't know any individual scores. No, we don't know them. But we are not stupid. Right? We're not. And we know exactly what he did. He doesn't care. He's been proven. The company has proven to him repeatedly that he can do anything he wants and they will not take the ultimate sanction. He has done the ultimate bad things and they have not taken the ultimate sanction.
Yeah, but
in fact,
yeah, but
I think secretly
taking care
the
of
reason
people
they,
by not
yeah,
firing him.
Yeah,
though, so.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. What a manager tools manager should know is if your boss is smart, and many of them are not, he or she will give you that person because you're most likely the manager able to fix them. Or if you're not, you're the manager who's smart enough to know the politics of how to get rid of somebody, a la the Corky story from 10, 12, 15 years ago. Okay, next. The organization motivates me to contribute more than is normally required to complete my work. This is a terrible question. People would just go, oh, I wonder when did I, you know. It's an ask and capture. The question to ask is, how does the organization inspire you to go above and beyond? What about it? Or what does it do that makes you feel that way? I have a good friend who works in the defense industry. And I was visiting the plant, I don't know, in the last couple of years. And they have, let's say, a 50-foot by 100-foot American flag hanging from a gantry in the manufacturing facility. I walked in, it's the first thing I saw. If I work there, that's all I need. For me, Mark Horseman, I had 3 nicknames in the Army, Horse, Cheese, and Captain America. That's all I need is a flag. This is what we're doing. There are people out in the field, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whatever, and they need us to be our very best. So by gosh, I'll do it. Other people will be different things, right? Other people will say ESG. Other people will say DEI. All those things are good, but it'd be good to know. It'd be wonderful to find out what really motivates and inspires each one of your people, and that will help you do what Manager Tools has been telling you to do for nearly 20 years now, which is don't manage based on a group, manage based on an individual. Now, again, you're probably sensing that a lot of these questions seem similar. The cynical thing to think is that the person who agreed to all these questions knew he wouldn't have to spend taking it. But we will say there is a good point data-wise. Sometimes subtly different questions on certain topics, particularly topics they're concerned about, provides relief and the data. And by that, I mean shining light from different directions that's helpful. But again, 140 questions is too many. Okay, so that's the main drivers part. The next one gets into questions regarding organization, strategy, and culture.
Okay, so let's finish this one up today, Mark, and then we'll continue next time with our long explication of all this.
Yeah. You know what, Mike? I'm excited because now we're halfway through. yeah. I'm kidding.
I know. The fact that you're laughing is somebody back out there is going like, oh my God.
Yeah, no. I mean, we just did the first section. It's a fairly short section. the next section, the ones about strategy and organization and culture. Yeah. That's long.
Yeah, I imagine Austin Powers, right? Like,
oh, we got through one. Yeah. We got through 15 pages.
Yeah.
The guy going like, we got like 1,000. So.
Yes, exactly. So we'll be here a week.
All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
Take care. Thanks, everyone.